This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here, when the people speak, we make a difference. You know, many years ago, even as a young person who was always an advocate of nonviolent resolution to all conflict, I used to sit there and say, well, there's always, and as a Palestinian, I always thought, well, I know how to fix the problem in Palestine. We, all the Palestinians, just have to get butt naked and march directly into Jerusalem. What can they do? Kill us all? And here, years later, Dr. Paul Larudi, the co-founder of the Global March to Jerusalem, North America, has done it. Only I think you're going to do it in clothes, if I'm not mistaken, right, Dr. Paul Larudi?
I like the suggestion, actually. There are certain advantages to it.
There absolutely are, especially if you know anything about nonviolent resistance.
Exactly.
And nudity really throws everybody for a loop. But welcome to the show, Dr. Larudi. Can you tell us a little bit about the Global March to Jerusalem? The event is going to be March the 30th, correct?
That's correct. We planned it to coincide with Palestinian Land Day, which is already being celebrated, or I should say commemorated. It's a way of marking an important date in the Palestinian calendar and getting people to turn out for it as well. The idea, as you said, goes back a number of years, and it's the idea of putting together a large number of people, unarmed and peaceful, and saying, basically, we have a right. We're going to exercise our right, and which is basic nonviolent resistance. It's a matter of exercising one's rights despite the obstacles that are placed in front of it. Mm. There are a number of really interesting aspects to this, and I hope we'll get a chance to cover them during this interview.
Well, I certainly hope we do. Before we go ahead with that, though, how many people are going to be involved in the march, or do you have any idea so far?
It's actually going to be difficult to both estimate and to count the number of people involved. It kind of depends on how you do it, because there will be participants in the geographic region of Palestine itself and the surrounding areas, meaning the West Bank, Jerusalem, the 48 territories, Gaza, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. But also there are sympathetic marches and demonstrations in countries all around the world. So if you put it all together, it'll probably be in excess of 1 million people. I mean, in Egypt, you could get 500,000 people or more demonstrating right in and around Tahrir Square alone,
mm-hmm. Yes.
As was the case last May.
Let me ask you, Paul, if I may, what are your greatest fears about what some of the possibilities that could occur with a march like this? After all, you being part of the siege on to breaking the siege on Gaza, you've if I'm not mistaken, you've actually been attacked by the Israelis, by the IDF. And you can see the violence that has erupted. There have been deaths. There have been beatings. There have been people put in jail. What are your greatest fears?
The greatest danger will be among the people who have direct contact with Israeli forces, obviously, and that will be in Palestine itself. That will be in the West Bank and Jerusalem, mm-hmm. And in 48. But actually, the organizers have gone to great lengths to keep this as safe as possible. We are respecting the wishes of the local groups that are doing the organizing in Lebanon and Jordan especially. And mm-hmm. they are opting to make very certain that no one is harmed the way they were last May during the Nakba Day protests, when a couple dozen people lost their lives in the two locations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it may look a bit tame by comparison, and that's because we're concerned for the safety of the people involved. But nevertheless, we expect a very large participation, probably around 50,000 in Lebanon, another 50,000 in Jordan, possibly more. In Palestine itself, it will be in the thousands, possibly as many as 50,000 if you count all the areas, and another 50,000 in Gaza.
Now, Paul, the logistics of this plan is that you are not going to all converge in at one point, that you're going to be your plan of nonviolent attack will be through many paths into Jerusalem?
Exactly. And the idea is to get as close as we can to Jerusalem. Of course, some people will make it there. Especially those who are, for example, citizens, Israeli citizens. We expect a large number of Palestinians who are citizens of Israel to be in Jerusalem itself. But otherwise, it will be at the point which is as close as we can get to Jerusalem in various locations. And those locations might be in Australia and North America mm-hmm. and so forth. There is the Occupy movement, for example, in Washington, D.C. and in San Francisco have both decided to do this. And there's going to be a march to the Israeli embassy in both Ottawa, Canada, and in Washington, D.C.
So basically, in a lot of places around the world, anything politically Israel will be a potential place of that people will be marching to.
Yes, I mean, there'll be symbolic places in all sorts of locations mm-hmm. in the countries of North Africa and South Africa and so forth.
Okay, now you said that. As marchers, it was your right to march. What would be the ultimate plan, and what do you hope to achieve by this march?
Okay. It is ultimately, and by ultimately we mean not necessarily this year, but maybe next year or the year after or whatever, we would mm-hmm. like to see a million people in Jerusalem itself. And we're building towards that. One very important thing that has happened with this particular project is that it is not a project that was conceived and planned and organized in the West. It was the global South and the global East that that is part of this. It was mm-hmm. organized. The Palestinian groups are not the usual Palestinian groups with which a lot of the Westerners are most familiar. Mm-hmm. And the groups in India and Pakistan and Indonesia and Iran and South Africa are major players in putting this project together. The narrative is in fact quite different from what we're used to in the West. And it puts some people off a bit because it includes statements of shall I say, anger, let's say. And but it is nonviolent, and this is very special because a lot of people are not accustomed to seeing the groups such as the supporters of armed resistance in Lebanon and Syria and Jordan actually initiating and creating a nonviolent movement. This sort of thing should be treated, it should be welcomed with open arms, but it hasn't always been because there's been, let's say, I don't know, you could say suspicion or skepticism about the sources. But I'm very excited about it. I think it's a wonderful thing that so many of these groups that have such a huge constituency among Palestinians and other peoples are actually initiating a nonviolent movement of this kind. I think it's a very important
thing. I certainly hope that it takes Israel by surprise. And I don't, and you know, unfortunately, here in the West, I think it's only the West that's really surprised by the global outcry for against this occupation in Palestine. It seems that people don't really know much about the public outcry, yet around the world, people everywhere are against this occupation and always talk about it and are quite informed about what's happening in that region, and it's unfortunate. Do you think that this is going to receive and achieve the notoriety that you hope it will in the West?
It's whatever it achieves, I think, will be important because of, as I say, the shift of the center and the engagement of groups that have never worked together before. This is, it hasn't been easy, I have to say that. And
I can imagine.
But there have been all sorts of concerns about what the narrative is and so forth. But to get all of these groups working together, I think we're creating a kind of unity that has never existed before, and it's part of a trend because the Gaza Freedom March, for example, and the flotillas and all that sort of thing required a convergence of interests and of groups that didn't always work very well together. But they did work together, and little by little, we're achieving a greater degree of unity than ever before, and I think that is ultimately what will make the difference.
Well, let me ask you, Paul, are there going to be marchers from inside of, and I'm using this very loosely, Israel proper?
Yes.
Marching as well?
Oh, absolutely. Now, most of them will be Palestinian citizens of Israel, but there are also non-Palestinian citizens of Israel and non-citizens as well, people who will be going there expressly for this this march and others. So we expect a good turnout. We expect to see crowds in Jerusalem and on their way to Jerusalem. So it'll be respectable, let's put it that way. And I think whatever happens, we can hold our heads up high and make plans. We have some interesting plans in the works for next year as well. We hope to make this an annual occurrence and for it to grow year by year and to create networks that can work together on other projects as well. One interesting project, incidentally, not necessarily the first of its kind, but I think it's very significant, is an album called Jerusalem for Us All, which has been put together by a group of artists who donated their works for this album. And it's available online, and we're hoping that this popular culture, Reem Banna, for example, and M1, and David Rovix, and Marcel Khalife, and so on, that all of them have put together a very eclectic mix of talent to that's very exciting. And we're if you remember in 1988, for example, Artists Against Apartheid was a huge popular force in changing the tide against apartheid. And we're hoping that this will have a similar impact, if not right away, then eventually.
Well, let me ask you, what do the Israelis say? Have you had any discussion? Has there been any threats? Has there been any acknowledgement of this event in any way, shape, or form? Because oftentimes the Israelis tend to pretend these things. Well, they don't pretend. They downplay the importance of these things so as not to bring about any kind of notoriety to the event. Have you found this to be true?
They've treated it rather seriously. They put down. They put out a false website to attract people to it, and they've been putting out misinformation. But part of the result of that is to make people more interested, and of course. We expect, of course, the Israelis and their supporters have been saying for decades, at least, that the Palestinians should use nonviolent resistance. And when they do, of course, they claim that the resistance is not nonviolent and has to be combated with brute force, which of course is what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking it very seriously, and they're prepared to use misinformation and brute force and this sort of thing.
Let me ask you, oftentimes in mass organizations like this, where people come together to try to proliferate a nonviolent march, there are agitators. Have you had any discussion with the marchers on how to handle this? Do you think that any of these agitations could come from Israelis themselves? What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Absolutely. And in each place, the local committees are dealing with this. In the two larger ones, Jordan and Lebanon, honestly, we're not going to, my understanding is that it's unlikely that we'll get within range of Israeli rifle fire. And therefore, it's a way of proceeding with caution with regard to these. In the West Bank and Jerusalem, most of the local committee there, the organization, are very experienced in dealing with this kind of thing and with local agitators. And so although they will come into contact with Israeli forces, they're very well trained on how to deal with this.
You have a lot of backers for this event. Dr. Claiborne Carson, retired U.S. Ambassador Edward Peck, and many others. Can you tell us, are any of these people going to actually be involved in the march itself?
Oh, yes. Mairead McGuire, Nobel Peace Laureate, will be meeting us in Beirut. By the way, Cindy Sheehan has just become a member of our advisory board and is endorsing. Unfortunately, she won't be able to come herself. Yes, a lot of them are will not be coming. Unfortunately, Desmond Tutu is really not well enough to participate himself, but he is supporting us and he is on our advisory board. So we're very hopeful. It remains to be seen exactly how many will be coming.
And yourself, which area are you going to be marching from, Paul?
I personally will be in Lebanon. I think a lot of the North Americans from Canada and the United States will be in Lebanon. There are a few who will be in Jordan and others that are planning to be in Palestine itself. And I guess there are a few who will be in Cairo as well. I know there's a team from Greece that is also going to Cairo. And from all over Europe as well, from Austria and Germany and the UK especially. And there'll be a big demonstration also in London. There are probably hundreds of events that I don't even know about.
Paul, let me ask you. Oftentimes here in the West, you know that there's a blanket of non-existence that, and certainly not being addressed in a lot of the major media, unless it's something that's unavoidable. Can you tell me, are you recommending, or do you have specific accommodations for media filming and footage of these marches, these events, the speakers, things like that, that people can watch on, say, YouTube or some type of video program?
Yes, the best, as you say, the most likely way that people will be able to see things is on webcasts of one kind or another. And the best place to see those is at our North American site, which is GMJ, Global March to Jerusalem, -NA, North America, .org. Mm-hmm. And there's also the global site, which is GM2J, .com. And yes, just to do a search on Global March to Jerusalem, because there are YouTube videos popping up all the time, and Facebook pages. There are a number of Facebook pages to look at. And and check out Jerusalem for Us All, too, the album. Mm-hmm. Which is, I know that Democracy Now! Is planning to play some pieces from that.
Oh, wonderful. How long do you anticipate the walk is going to be ongoing?
It's basically a one-day event with with one big exception, which is that there is an overland caravan that left India at the beginning of March and made its way through Pakistan and Iran. And now I believe it is going through Turkey, although it may have split and gone in two directions at the same time. And eventually it'll be making its way to Lebanon. So we're going to find it'll be meeting up there. And there's information about that on both of those websites.
And again, that's www.gmj-na.org. So for anybody that is interested, please go. And you also have an organized site where organized at gmj-na.org. For those of you that are interested, you can go there as well. We have a question from John in Canada for you, Paul. We kind of went through this, but maybe you can give a brief recap to John. I think he just arrived. How many estimated participants in this march?
Globally, there may be a million or more in the various locations. In and around Palestine, I think a good estimate would be between 100 and 200,000.
Do you know if you have any of the Palestinian Authority, any of the officials in Palestine are going to be involved in this march as well?
We have steered clear of government involvement. But of course, there are plenty of government officials who have given us encouragement, both in Gaza, the government in Gaza, and in the West Bank as well. We have Mustafa Barghouti, who is on our advisory board. There we've had encouragement from all parties, you could say.
Well, give Mustafa my best. I hosted an event when he was here in Detroit a few years ago. Excellent. I always hoped that he would be president of the of Palestine one day.
Well, who knows? There are a lot of people who share that hope with you.
Well, good. One day it may happen. Paul, this has been delightful. I am so thrilled to even have you on this show. It's just such a pleasure for me, and I am so honored by this. As a Palestinian,
we love your work, Basma.
Thank you, Paul. We love your work more. Trust me, I sit here on this radio show, I guess, and you're out there marching. I think you're great. So thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Paul LaRudy, the co-founder of the Global March to Jerusalem North America. Keep in touch. Let's watch what happens on March 30th. Thank you, Paul. It was a pleasure having you here. And perhaps we can have you back after the march so we can kind of touch the points that have happened.
Would love to do that.
All right, Paul. Great, great luck to you.
Thanks.
Okay, folks, we're going to be taking a break right now, and we'll be introducing our next guest of the evening, Mike Bataya, comedian, actor, and writer. Welcome back to People Speak Radio. When the people speak, they make a difference, or in this case, we may not necessarily make a difference, but we might make you laugh. Our guest tonight is Mike Bataya.
So pessimistic. We can make a difference.
Let's not make any kind of a difference. Hey, Mike, how are you? Mike Bataya is an accomplished actor, writer, and a comedian. He's a native of Detroit. He now resides in Los Angeles because he has become a very famous young man. He guest starred on several shows, including Sleeper Cell, JAG, Everybody Loves Raymond, Breaking Bad, and the upcoming Kiefer Sutherland show, Touch. Hi,
yeah,
Mike.
I will be on Thursday. Let me plug that before we go. It'll be Thursday, right after American Idol on Fox. It'll be 9 o'clock this Thursday, the 22nd. So,
I'm going to be watching that.
Awesome, awesome.
Wonderful. Mike, hi. Thank you for being our guest tonight. It's a pleasure having you. Mike, please give us a rundown on what's going on in your life right now. I think it's wonderful. And you are an Arab American.
Yeah.
Or an American Arab. And what is your nationality?
My family is Jordanian. And I grew up in I grew up in Southwest Detroit though, so I was kind of stuck in the middle of a bunch of Latinos. I kind of got lost in the mix. But Dearborn was a hop, skip, and a jump away. So I would go to Dearborn, recharge my Arab roots, and then go back to Detroit. You know.
Very cool. You don't happen to be related to Imad Bataya Hanam, are you?
That is my cousin. Imad is my cousin.
Oh, Imad, I love Imad. He is so sweet.
He's a sexy one, isn't he? And then we have that's my dad's side of the family, and my mom is the Babna. And we have some Sabas and Fahoudis.
Then I know part of your family. How cool is that?
Nice, nice. So you have dirt on my family. That's great. That's good to know.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, then I'm sure some of your family, I hope some of them will be at the event. Now, please tell us a little bit. You grew up in Detroit.
Yeah.
How did you become interested in comedy, or is it just a natural part of your life?
Well, after I got my school record from high school and all that in college, I figured, you know what? I think this is not an option. So I took sleep and went out to California.
They were funny.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you know, this is my, literally in high school, I had to go back and ask my counselor for my transcripts because I was trying to get into this program in college. And I saw her in the hallway and I said, "Hey, Miss Woodward, do you know, I don't have the paperwork yet. Do you know what my GPA is?" And she turned from halfway around the hallway and she goes, and did that. And I go, So is that bad, or she just walked away?
Does that mean I graduated?
I love my piece. Yes, I did. But you know, I've always been interested in comedy. I mean, I used to study it when I was a kid. Man, I watched everybody: Richard Pryor, Jonathan Winters, John Belushi. I just always had a knack for it. And even my family members, man, my uncles. I have an uncle, Nusri, who's an entertainer, and he kind
yes,
of
Yes, I do know Nusri. I actually, my husband and I are good friends with Nusri. We haven't seen him in a while, he's a great guy.
And all my sisters, and then everybody's just, you know, it's in the blood, man. So I just watched, observed, and soaked it all up and, you know, stole all the material and came out here and did their act.
Well, all right, let me tell you. Images and Perceptions of Arab Americans is a diversity workshop, and it's going to be coming up on Thursday, March 29th. Mm-hmm. You're going to be coming to the metropolitan Detroit area to be a participant in this workshop. And can I ask you what you – I know the workshop. I've attended for many years. Siham Jaffer is a dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, as I said behind the scenes, we had just interviewed Reverend Dr. Wendell Anthony today, who is the president of
NAACP.
The Detroit chapter of the NAACP. And one of the things that I know what his take was on it as a Black American and the commonalities that we have. What do you hope
to
achieve?
Wait, I'm confused. Is it Black American, African American? We have to decide on that.
I don't know. You know, that's a good question.
We never changed. Before 9/11, Arabs were Arabs, and then after 9/11, we were just suspects. So that's what that's what changed.
We were just terrorists after that. You know, I always say I sit here and I bead my bomb belts and I bedazzle them.
Exactly. So I'm sorry. Leading to the question.
Well, I was saying that I know that his position was on this. What do you hope as a comedian to achieve during this workshop?
During the workshop, I'm brought in to perform like towards the end, and also there's a film I did, Detroit Unleaded, that Roland Nashif directed, and early in the morning she'll be presenting that. So I'll be present for that, and this film actually shows a different perception of the Arabs and actually the community in Detroit amongst Arab Americans and African Americans, and it's a different take on it. There's like no terrorist plot line, nothing like that. It kind of shows a different side of us. And through my comedy, like I said, I'll be there. That's a diversity, you know, workshop about minorities. So I'll just be teaching people how to be minorities.
I think CM said that you were just gonna, we were discussing some of the people and what they were, and he goes, and Mike, I think, is just gonna come there to make fun of us.
Exactly. Basically just knock everybody down a peg. I'm gonna teach them how to be minorities. Like when they see cops, I'm gonna show them the best routes to run, you know, stuff like that. You know, like we're already in trouble. But no. It's basically, I'm to show the commonality in all of us. You know what I mean? We're all pretty much the same, every race, creed, or color. And I joke around sometimes and say, even certain white people are similar to Arabs in one sense that, you know.
Oh, Mike, don't hold back, please. This is an adult show. You can go for broke.
No. Like I say the rednecks and Arabs, you know, some of them, you know, have a lot in common. You know, they hook up with their cousins. We just take it a step further and get documentation and have paperwork and marry our cousins. So we're the same, but we're different.
And one thing I know a lot of Arabs, and I am one. And I'll tell you, if there's anybody in the world that can laugh at themselves, it is the Arab community.
No, we are. We have a great sense of humor, and the great thing is, I went overseas a lot. I've played Dubai, Jordan, Nazareth, Lebanon, Egypt, and we have the best sense of ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, I think the American media portrays us like, oh, you can't joke around, and oh, they're very serious people, and they have no humor, and always angry. No, they're not. They're not. You just see one side of us, one perception.
That's, you know, I think that's American probably media. The most confusing one. I didn't even know I didn't exist until 9/11.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Until then, I didn't know I didn't exist. I just thought I was an American Palestinian that just, you know, did her thing. And then here I figure, I find out that I wasn't even an existent person. And if I did exist, I existed as a cockroach in a jar somewhere.
Now what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean you didn't?
Oh, well, there was this one of the leaders. I think it was Moshe Dayan that had said that that the Palestinian Arabs were like cockroaches.
Of course, listen, that's always that they're always going to say stuff like that. They're not going
like,
to. They're not.
Either
gonna
I
recognize
exist
that.
Or I'm
they're
a bug somewhere.
and I've been there. I had a night in a refugee camp when I was there. I performed in Nazareth, and I saw the situation there, and those people, let me tell you something. They always say that, you know, people follow, like, Buddhist monks and Dalai Lamas and read their books on peace and serenity. It's easy to be like that when you're sitting on a mountain with butterflies surrounding you. But I'm telling you right now, I met some of the most centered, peaceful, giving, most generous people in that refugee camp while I was there. Like, yes. You know, those are the people that should be writing books on how to have strength of character and will and perseverance and never giving up hope and compassion. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I never experienced anything like it. It really opened my eyes when I was there.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was at the first time I went back there, of course, I was like all ready to be angry. And as an activist myself, I sat here and I thought to myself, what's wrong with these people? They're all smiling. What's the matter with them? Don't they know they're under occupation?
Yeah, exactly.
So I asked one of them.
You have like decades to catch up when you get there. So you just want to, like when you see drunk people, you want to get to the party and catch up as quick as you can. But like, it's too late.
Yes.
They're already there.
Mike. That was the interesting thing. They weren't, and they were smiling. And I asked them, I said, you guys seem so relatively happy. I mean, you seem so at peace. And aren't you, what about the Israelis? And he goes, well, what about them? We understand why they're frightened. They should be frightened. When you're a thief, you always have something to be frightened about.
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody, like I said, everybody has their own opinion on the situation. And like I said, when I was there, I did a show there, and there were Jews and Palestinians sitting with each side by side, and I was making fun of both sides, and they were laughing with each other at each other.
Yes,
so that really blew my mind. You know what I mean? I had a whole different thing. Yeah, I had a whole different perception before I went there, and it was pretty incredible experience.
Well, listen, we have a question for you from Paul in New York. Is Mike Muslim, and does he feel about the current, and how does he feel about the current wars in the Middle East? Would he compare the current villainization of Muslims to what they did to the Japanese in World War II?
I am not Muslim. I was raised Catholic, so I have that double guilt. I have the Arab and the Catholic in me, so I'm Muslim. But it's easy to compare any oppressed people. Yeah, I think they are being vilified here. Of course, I mean you can't not see that. It's obvious. I mean not as drastic, not as open as putting them in concentration camps here, but it's pretty darn close. Pretty darn close to it. So yeah, I'd have to say the likelihood of that. Yeah.
Well, tell me, Asad Khalidi is also going to be at the workshop. Are you familiar with Asad and his work? Are you friends?
I've run across him a couple times. I don't think we've worked together yet, but I've worked on some shows that he had done, but he wasn't directing at the point. I've done Everybody Loves Raymond and a couple other shows that he has directed. And but I think I might have met him one time in passing, but hopefully we'll reacquaint ourselves with each other.
Now, I haven't had the opportunity to watch Touch, although I am fascinated by the commercials that I see.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing on Touch?
This is going to be the first episode after the pilot. I'm playing a non-Arab role. It's a guest star role, so I can't really give it away, but look out for me. And it'll be on Thursday, so you'll get to see it,
Well, I sure hope so. And you've also been in movies like Don't Mess with the Zohan, American Dreams, American East.
Yeah.
What are some of your worst experiences in any of those movies? Did you ever have a really bad, bad day?
No. I mean, listen, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I see an actor, somebody complaining on the set, like, oh, man, we got to be. I'm like, listen, man, you could be somewhere digging a ditch. I mean, you're working at something you dreamed about. So no complaints. Like I said, when I had a day job, the time would tick by so slowly. But, you know, when you're on set or on stage, it zips by. I could be on there for hours on a set, 17, 18 hours, and it wouldn't affect me because I'm there having fun. And
you're doing what you love.
Mm-hmm.
You are. Exactly. And I can tell that you seem excited about this. It's wonderful to hear. Now, how long have you been in Los Angeles right now?
I believe it's 15, 16 years now.
Wow, long. I didn't realize you'd been there.
But I come back to Michigan every now and then to visit at least once or twice a year. And recently I've been coming there to do some shows. So it should be fun, man. It's going to be a good time.
Well, you know, the Ramallah Federation is having their convention there this year. So maybe we can work something out for you then.
In California?
No, it's going to be here in Detroit. Yeah.
In Detroit, I'll be more than happy to come down there, man.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
So, let me ask you a question. Did you and Shahan start this thing together? Or
actually, no. I'm just a participant. I go and I attend the workshops, and Siham has been doing this. This is their ninth year in doing this workshop. Yeah, it is. I don't know if you've ever attended this, Mike. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
There are
people from the federal government, the educational system, students from across the high school students, some of the most elite students in the community. The CIA has a presence there. I mean, it is
CIA?
Just
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Are they there out of suspicion?
So please bring your chutzpah and your identification and make sure that it says terrorist with big capital letters on it.
never. I think it's just nothing good came out of the 9/11 experience at all, I think. But I do see a shift now with the American people that people are actually trying to learn about our culture, like on a deeper level, not just about Muslims, but about all Arabs.
Man, it took us a heck of a long time and a very strange way to get noticed, didn't we?
it did, but like I said, through the arts, I think I think there's a voice there now through comedy, through the music, through the acting. I mean, our presence is starting to be known, and then I'm really excited for the future and the present time as well. I mean, it's really starting to open up.
I agree. I absolutely have to salute you as a comedian and many of the other comedians that are in the area. Imer Zahid, a lot of the others. Just amazing. You guys have just done a phenomenal job. When people listen to you guys talk about this and do the jokes and laugh at yourselves and laugh at each other, I think it brings a whole new light to this, I can only say this one way: we're just human beings just like everybody else.
And you know, the thing I've noticed about comedy, because I perform elsewhere, like in other venues where there's no Arabs, it's across culture, so I'll throw in a few Middle Eastern cultural jokes there, and they go over just as well as my regular material, and people are really starting to understand our culture, and we have a lot of great Middle Eastern comedians out there, man. You got the Aaron Cater, the Ahmed Ahmed, the Dean Abdullah's, Maysoon. All those guys are doing some stuff there, and really opening up for everybody.
Yeah, I hear Maysoon was having Isara on one of the recent shows, like the news. She was having some issues with some Twitter message that she put out, and she was actually getting death threats. It's like, really?
That's Maysoon for you.
People, get a little bit lighter.
Yeah. But yeah, people have a great sense of humor. I mean, it really is about the way you deliver things, too, as well as a comedian. So, Yeah. You just got to learn how to deliver, I guess, you know, if you want to say some certain things. And you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. You're going to say some things that cut deep, and any reaction is a good reaction, you know what I mean? But no reaction is a bad reaction.
You guys,
so you need
wonderful.
To, like, kind of
great
you
job.
Need to open up that dialogue.
Yes.
You know?
What better way to open up a dialogue than through humor, well, wish you all the luck in the world. I think you're doing a fantastic job. Mike, I can't wait to meet you in person. Hopefully some of your relatives will join us at the workshop. It is a fascinating workshop. I mean, really, I hope you spend some quality time. And we're going to be doing some interviews for Off the Cuff after the show. So.
It's going to be a great turnout already. You got a lot of people coming, so
we've got a good talking to the ladies today, and Sam says that they're already exceeded previous projections. So
nice.
Yeah,
and
turnout.
I also say some things. I'll be I got some shows coming up too.
Put a plug in. Where are they going to be?
I'm going to be actually at the University of Michigan on the 23rd with Ali Abdullah for Arab Expressions at U of M on a Friday in the Union Ballroom. And then when I come back into town, I'll be at the Diversity Workshop during the day. And at night, myself, Kayvon, and Amr Zahar will be doing a show at the Dearborn Arab American Museum. And you can get tickets for that at 1001 laughs, just 1001laughs.com.
And, oh, wonderful.
Come down and enjoy it. Yeah. So I'll be a little bit more tame during the day, and the evening. You guys are welcome to come and get some adult humor as well.
Well, listen, if I don't have
it's
a chance
a
to see
time,
you, I look forward to meeting
there.
You, Mike. It's been a pleasure. Thank you much. Thank you very much. Mike Bataille, ladies and gentlemen, watch for him on Fox this Thursday on the show Touch.
If she's listening, tell her I said hello.
I will do that. Her and Nadia are probably listening right now. But thank you very much, Mike. It's been a pleasure. And again, I look forward to it. That's Images and Perceptions, folks. One of the best conferences that I've ever gone to on the commonalities and the diversity of Arab Americans in this country. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week, everybody. Thanks, Mike.
Have a fun time. Thank you, guys.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office at Summer People. And they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.